Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, but the two dots. This is a conclusion of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Halal. Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah that in Halal, if it's Mekunas L'makom Echad, you have a Kazayit, then it is able to Mimetamei Tumat and Beila. Right, so Amar Abuna Behushikan, so that's only if you brought it together. Meaning that the Stam, the default status of the skin when you have flayed the animal, is that any Basar that's found on the skin is Batel the Gabe Ha'or. That's the default. Now, if you console, if you had in mind and you brought it together, so you're machshivit, then through that ability to be machshivit, that's what makes it into something that could have tumat veila. That's what we saw yesterday, Rashi and Tosafot. There's the Isur Nevela and there's the tumat Nevela. Tosafot pointed out that you can't, machshava shouldn't have any bearing on Isur Nevela. So that's why I'm saying tumat veila, which is that if you come to contact with it and then enter the mikdash, that's what you're going to be chayivin alava. If you have two half zeitim that are on a single piece of skin, the or is mivatel them. So what you have here is almost seemingly contradictory in the statements of Rav Huna. First one is that you have to actively bring them together in order for them not to be in the default status of bitul.
That seems to indicate that there's a necessity for human involvement in terms of creating the bitul, not creating the bitul, the default to be bitul is because you left them on the skin. And if you gather them in, then you indicate that you don't. But it all has to do with human involvement. On the other hand,
also has another statement, which is if you have two chatzei zitim, their or is mivatel them.
The other case, or the other statement, seems to happen automatically, without any human involvement.
In terms of the kinos, if it gets together by itself, or a tinok, some child brings them together, over there, we don't say it works because the basar was already nitbatel to the or. It was automatic. It's automatic. The default status is that the basar is nitbatel the or. So then if you want to bring it together after the fact, that's not going to change anything. The fact that it was nitbatel the or, you can't change that fact by bringing it together. Now what you can do, if it can so and bring it together, is you can makshiv it, that'll be ochel. What you can't do is make it into tumat the veila anymore. Tumat Veila either exists or doesn't exist. If, when you first flayed the animal, the basar was nitbatel to the skin, and you weren't machshivit, if you're later bring it together will not make it into an Veila.
How much is later?
At the time that you're flaying it, you have to have a dot, whether you're going to keep this basar or not keep the basar. Once you've decided you're not going to keep the basar, it's batel the gabeya or. So if it's batel the gabeya or, the Tumat Veila goes, and there's nothing to talk about in terms of Tumat Veila. Whereas, if you're talking about Tumat Ochlim, like Tumat Ochlim, you can be machshiv ocha whenever you want. If you say, I'm going to eat it now, then you can be machshiv it. So the status in terms of Tumat Ochlim can be changed after the fact. What cannot be changed is the tumat nevela. That's what Rashi points out over here. About nitkanes me'elav, k'mo shechnisu tinokot achar yafshet, lo ho'il. U'batel mitchila. That doesn't help, because it's batel from the moment that you flayed it. Nase or, and it becomes batel to the or, meaning it's just skin. There is no basar here. V'tulo hadar avi basar. U'tumat ochlim hu, demahani makshava l'shav yochla. The only thing that a makshava can help with is tumat ochlim. Because Tumat Nevela is gone, and you can't bring it back. You can't make it into Basar Nevela after the fact. What Rav Huna is saying is, V'hushi Kanso, is that you need to Gali Dati Lo Batle. Because there is a Gilui Dat, and when you're doing the flame, you don't want it to be Batel the Gabe Or. So if you do that, you can maintain the Tumat Nevela that's there. And when you bring it together, it'll have a dinner of Tumat Nevela. But then Rav Huna makes a second statement, which is, Shnei Chatzei Zeitim, Shnei Shnan Al Gabe Or, two Chatzei Zeit that's on the or Mevatlan. Then the or is Mevatel them. What's going to be important is a Mishnah coming up where there's a machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. It's on the Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. And over there, it says, if you have two Chatzei Zeitim on a piece of or, they're Mitamim B'Masa. If you carry them, then they're metamei nevela b'masa, because nevela is also metamei b'masa. If you carry the or, and you have two chatzei zeitim, it's metamei b'masa, because you're carrying a single kezayit. Shrein asa kezayit nevela. Ve'ein metamei b'maga. If you touch it, then you cannot be chayav, because if you touch a chatzei zeit, and then touch another chatzei kezayit, you have a chatzei shir in both places, there is no tuma. That's the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says, you're not chayav for maga, you're not chayav for masa. Not chayav for anything, even when you have two chatzei zeitim on a single piece of or. The machloka between them revolves around whether the basar is nitvatel to the or. Do we say that the basar automatically, the default status is that the flesh that's here on the skin becomes skin, unless you think otherwise? Or do we say
the or mevatel the basar, irrespective of what the person is thinking? It's automatic. It happens in such a manner that human involvement is irrelevant in this case. Doesn't matter if he wants to keep it, doesn't want to keep it. By definition, basar that separates with the or is batel.
That's a machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. What the Gemara wants to know now is Rabbi Huna's statements are according to whom? So I'll leave it to man, especially the latter statement. Machnes means he needs a kazayit to have tumat tevela. So that's what it means. That's why he uses the term kanos.
But
the basic idea is it doesn't allow the basar to become nitzbatel to the or. The main issue is that when he flays it, he doesn't just say, leave the basar, he doesn't think about it. No, he thinks that I want to keep this basar. Then, once you get a kazayit of that basar together, then you will have tumat tevela. But the key element of what Rav Huna is saying is that he has to actively want to keep the basar. That's what Behu Kishukanso is, that you have to be actively involved. Can't be that you just end up with a kazayit nevela by bringing the basar together, because it's already nitzbatel to the or. The issue is that you have to stop it from becoming nullified to the skin.
Second statement, converse.
Right, so it sounds like they're converse, but we'll see in a second according to whom. That's what the Gemara is going to discover now. So I'll leave it in mind. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel. If it's according to Rabbi Shmuel, Hamar, lo mevatel, or. If you think this second statement of Rav Huna is according to Rabbi Shmuel, he says that the or is not mevatel the basar. So then why, when you have shnei chatzei zeitim, do we say the or mevatlan? That's not true. Via libet Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, he says the or is mevatel the basar. Pshita, the mevatel or. Because it's clear that the or will be mevatel the basar. What, Rav Huna is telling us what the Mishnah says in Rabbi Akiva's shita? So we don't understand that second statement of Rav Huna, what is the chiddush in it? So lolam alibed Rabbi Shmuel. It's really according to Rabbi Shmuel. Tichi amar Rabbi Shmuel lo mevatel or. When do we say that the or is not mevatel the basar that's on it? Hani milishi pelatato chaya. That's only if the animal was attacked by another animal and it severed a portion of the flesh, the skin of the animal. There we say that the basar is still chashuv because you weren't the one removing the skin. You didn't have in mind to take off the skin and forget about the basar. No, someone else came in and did something over here. So over there, we say it's not batel. Aval platato sakin batil. Then if you flayed the animal with a knife, you cut it off, then the default status is that it is batel the gabe or, because here you're actively flaying the animal. Your intent is to get to the skin, the little pieces of basar you're not going to worry about. So tashma, what are you going to say about our mission? Rabbi Huda Omer ha'alau hamikunas im yesh kazayit b'makom echad chayavin alav. This is the last statement in our Mishnah. V'amar Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says about that, v'hu shikanso. Rav Huna says, oh, that means only if you have in mind. What does that mean? That means that the default status is it's batel, but then if you change that by having in mind that you want to keep it, then it would change. Who is that person that says that? Yamart bishlamo platato sakin the Rabbi Shmuel nami lo batil. If you say, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that when platato sakin, when you do the flaying, that it's not batel gabior, Rav Huna, de amar ki Rabbi Shmuel. Then Rav Huna is speaking in the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Ela, I amar platato sakin, Rabbi Shmuel, batil. If you say even when you flay it, the basar is automatically batel according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rav Huna, de amar kiman. Then Rav Huna's position is according to whom? Because in both instances, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel believe that when you flay the animal, that it is automatically batel. And Rashi is assuming over here, Rama Rabuna Bushikanso, he says, Achar Hefshit. It happened after you flayed it. The Galidante, the Lo Bad Lemi Ikoro. That he now wants to say, Avalo Kanso, Lo. But if you did not bring it there, it's not. Medumukimla Bishikanso. If you set it up in a case where it's Kanso, we brought it up, Michlal de Bishiplatatosakin, Bishnai Mishlosha Makamot Kamar. Tani Chayavin Alav. And he says, Yechayav. Alma, Ibatlinu, Iubimitkavein, Bitile. Aval or lo mevatel. Dibat lin or tulu hajin mahavi nevela. Then it could never become a nevela again. Rashi says, if Rav Huna's statement is right, Behusha Kanso, you bring them together and to make a kazayit, you're bringing them together as a kazayit can only be relevant if you flayed the animal that the basar is not automatically nitzbatel. If the default status is that the basar is nitzbatel, and then you have in mind afterwards to try to change that, you can't do that. You can't change it after the fact. So the only way this is going to work is according to Rabbi Ishmael, who says that it's not batel. Well, if it's according to Rabbi Ishmael, who says it's not batel, then case in our Mishnah where it's Vehusha Kanso, he did this, he took it off, he flayed it, that's our Mishnah, and nevertheless it's saying that it's not batel. Well, if you say to me that Rabbi Shmuel agrees to Rabbi Akiva in the cases of Platos Akin that it's Batel, then who's the author of this position? Who is Rabbi Yehuda holding like? So the answer is that it must be like Rabbi Shmuel. If that's the case, then Rabbi Shmuel believes that even in cases of Platos Akin, even in the cases where you flay it, the Basar is not Nit Batel to the Ur. Rabbi Huna Damar Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that second statement is according to Rabbi Akiva. What do you mean, according to Rabbi Akiva? Pshita. Of course it's Pshita that it's according to Rabbi Akiva. Because the second statement says, Shnei Chatzei Zeitim, Sheishna Nagabi Or, Haor Mevatlan. Of course it's Rabbi Akiva who says that. Of course the Or Mevatel, that's the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So what do I need him to tell me? Madu Tima, I would have thought, Kikama Rabbi Akiva Anamili Platato Sakin. Akiva's position is only when he flayed it. Is it Batel to the Or? Aval Platato Chayav, it was attacked by another animal, Lo Batel. Kamashmon, Ravuna, the time of the Rabbi Akiva Mesha or Mevatlan, Loshna Palat Chaya, Loshna Palat Sakin. The Rabbi Akiva's position is that the or is Mevatel the Basar, irrespective of how it got removed. Whether it was done by the knife that you flaying it, or whether it was attacked by another animal. Kedetani Seifa. As the Seifa of the Mishnah says, Mipnei Ma Rabbi Akiva Meteir, Ba'or, Mipnei Sha'or Mevatlan. The reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva has nothing to do with why or how you got to this basar being on the or. It's all about the fact that the basar is nitpatel to the or, period. And that doesn't matter if potato sakin or potato chaya. So now, if I go back and look at the statements of Rabbi Huna, I will say that the first statement is Behushu Kanso, that is according to Rabbi Shmuel. He's saying that in Rabbi Yehuda, in Rabbi Yehuda's position, which must be premised on the position of Rabbi Shmuel, that Stam Basar is not Batel the Gabeha Or. And that's why he says, Behushu Kanso. V'amar Rav Huna. So now you have to have two things. One is, it's not automatically Batel. So therefore the Basar is relevant. And then number two is Kanso. You bring it together to make a Kazayit that is Mitameh. Chamim are going to disagree. They're going to hold like Rabbi Akiva. That Stam Basar is Nitvatel Or. So even if you're Mekanes it afterwards, it has no relevance. Because when you do it after the fact, there's nothing to talk about. So that'll be the first statement of Rav Huna. The second statement of Rav Huna, which is Shnei Chatzei Zitim, Shnei Shnal Gabi Or, Or Mevatlan, will be according to Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva will say it's Batel even in the face of Platato Chaya. It doesn't matter how it came about. It's always Nitvatel Gabi Or. So that's what the Gemara did now. It made the first statement of Rav Huna according to Rabbi Shmuel in Rabbi Yehuda, and the second statement is according to Rabbi Akiva. Rashi points out over here, and Tosfot seconds this idea, that a problem here arises because of Rav Huna. The way Rav Huna said it, that's what Rashi says, the Markaman, Bishlamo lo Rav Huna, Damar, Behusha Kanso, had it not been for Rav Huna that says, Behusha Kanso, Haba Makmina Rabbi Yehuda, Bishaplatato Tchila, Biyachad, that in the beginning you brought it out in one shot. Umshum Hachilo Batil, meaning that when you originally flayed it, there was a kazayit basar in one place. And that's why you have a problem here. T'chi pliga, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, shtei chatzei zeitim pliga. They only argue when they're two chatzei zeitim. Aval b'kazayit shalem, modu. They agree that it's a kazayit shalem. So what you would have argued in terms of Rabbi Yehuda, you could have answered, Rabbi Yehuda is just holding, it was a kazayit b'makom echad. Kazayit b'makom echad, that could be tamei. Because even Rabbi Akiva will agree in that case.
And the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, will suggest that, yes, Eno Hanami, that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree when it comes to a full Kazayit. But that's only talking about a case of Platato Chaya, when it was attacked by another animal, because there was no involvement. But if a person flays it, then Rabbi Akiva would stand on his position and say, even with a Kazayit, it's automatically Batel de Dior. And that's why they would disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. That's what we would have suggested had it not been for the Behushu Kanso of Rabbi Huna. But once you introduce the Behushu Kanso of Rabbi Huna, then you open up that the case must actually be something different.
The fact that Rabbi Huna comes on and says Behushu Kanso means that originally it wasn't together as one Kazayit. Well, if it isn't together originally as one Kazayit, then you are into the machloka between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And that's why the Gemara has to go in this direction. Had Rav Huna never said Behushu Kanso, we'd explain the Mishnah that Rabbi Huda says that if it's a Gazayit in one place, meaning that it's Tamei Tumat Nevela, that will be referring to a case where it's a Gazayit together in one place. And you could have solved the whole problem. Rav Huna really opens up the problem by saying Behushu Kanso, which means that it wasn't a single Gazayit until you brought it together. When you bring it together, then that's Machshivit. So that's why we're searching for a source for this idea of Behushu Kanso, who's that elite? So that's the conclusion of that Mishnah.
So just a summary and conclusion, when it comes to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, it's very clear. He says, Ha'or Mevatlan, the person is irrelevant in this case because the or, the skin itself, causes the basar to be nit batel. And that's it, period. And that's what Rav Huna came to reinforce for us. That's not only true where he did the flaying himself, because there you would see there was human involvement, so we would have assumed, yes, maybe there it's automatically batel. But if an animal came along and caused that severing of the basar and the or, maybe we wouldn't say that. Rav Huna comes along with that statement about the Shnei Chatzei Zeitim to teach us, no, Rabbi Akiva thinks that the or is always mevatel the basar, period. Now, there is one exception to that case, in the case where there is a kezayit of makom echad, and we'll see that on the Mishnah in Kuf Chav Dalet. As far as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, we are going to say that they're of the same opinion. Their opinion is that the bittul has to be done by the person, not by the or. Now, true, the default status will be when you take off the or, that if you have nothing in mind, that the basar is batel to the or, because you didn't have an alternative machshava. But if you do have an alternative machshava, then you can make the basar relevant, because it's not automatic that the or is mevatel it, it's just the default based on the person's interaction with this or. The fact that he didn't say anything makes it batel. But if he does say something, if he does do something to indicate that he wants the basar, for instance, as Rav Huna suggests, v'hushikanso, if he gathers it together, then he's given it significance, and it would not be automatically batel the gabayo or. The only thing that we have to clarify here is that we have Rav Yehuda saying in this Mishnah, v'hushikanso, and Rav Yehuda Shimon saying in the Mishnah, Kuf Chav Dalet, that the basar, two chatzei gzeitim, are mitzareif, even without v'hushikanso, without anything in mind. The difference between them will relate to the case. The case in the Mishnah Kuf Chav Dalet will be, according to Rabbi Shmuel, a case of platato chaya. It's a case where the animal attacked it, and there is no human involvement. So over there, we do not say that there's a default that the human involvement of flaying the animal made it basar batel to the or. First of all, he holds that the or is not automatically batel to basar. It's only because of the human interaction with it and the fact that it doesn't say anything. But over here, there was no human interaction with it. It was an animal that did it. So over there, the pieces will be joined together to make a gezayit nevela, even if shalohu kunso, even if you didn't bring them together. Whereas our Mishnah, the one where Rabbi Yehuda makes this statement, is talking about a case where he flayed the animal. Where he flayed the animal, the default will be, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, if you said nothing, it's batel to the or, because you didn't say anything, because of the way that you acted. But if you make an active statement of v'hushu kunso, that's the position of Rabbi Huna, then you will make a difference. And in that making that difference, it will become a nevela. And that's why you need the active involvement of Husha Kanso here, because you are flaying it. And the default will be, if you flay it and say nothing, that it's batel de gabdior. So when you say Husha Kanso, when you had in mind, no, I really want to keep the basar, then you change that status. And that will also explain the two statements of Rav Huna. The first one, according to Rabbi Yishmael, and the second one, according to Rabbi Akiva, clarifying their positions based on Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim and our Mishnah, obviously, will hold like Rabbi Akiva, that the basar is batel automatically to the or, and therefore even mishukanso, even after the fact, if you come and bring them together, it will have no relevance. Since it happens automatically that it's batel to the or, your makshava has no impact, because you can't change something after the fact. And since it's about the or and not about the human involvement, even when you make a statement afterwards, mishukanso, that'll have no impact in terms of nevela. It will have impact in terms of tumat ochlim, but not in terms of tumat nevela.
His statements were separate. They weren't said together. He made two different statements. We don't know what it's modifying. Husha Kanso, we know, is modifying Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. All he's saying is that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and Chachamim hold like Rabbi Akiva. And then his second statement is Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, which would be Aliba de Hilchata then, because it's the Chachamim. We never said that. His two statements were never made as a single Deyah. So now Mishnah. El Shurotorem Kibrit Saram. These items, their or, their skin, has the same din as their basar. Or adam, human skin, v'or achazir shel yishuv. And the skin of a pig, but that's a domesticated pig, because its skin is so soft that people will eat it. The idea being that the or, in all these instances, we're going to see in the Mishnah, is soft enough that it acts like basar. V'yudomer af or achazir bar. Even the wild pig, wild hog, their skin also has a din of basar. V'or chateret shel gamal haraka, the hump on the gamal haraka, and that the gamal will get to in a second, what is the gamal haraka? But the hump, when it's still soft, that is a din of basar. V'or arosh shel egel arach, again the skin on the top of a young calf, again we have to figure out what that means. V'or aparsot, the skin around the hooves. V'or beit haboshet, the or around in the female reproductive area. V'or shalio, the skin of a fetus, v'or shel tachat aliyah, and the skin that is under the tail, by the fats of the tail, v'or hanaka, hakvakoach v'alita'a v'achomet, So these are four of the shvatzim, the eight shvatzim that are mentioned in the Torah, that are tamei. Four of those, the Mishnah says, do have a din of oram kibsaram, that their skin is the same din as basar. So again, you see all these cases, and we're going to go through them one by one. We're saying that the ur is so soft that it functions like basar in this case. So we had all these examples, plus the last four, which is anaka, loosely translated hedgehog. Koach is a chameleon. Halita'a is a lizard. You can see in Rashi that he translates litardia. He says a lizard. And a chomet is a snail. So Rashi talks about the snail growing with its the shell that's around it, expands with it as it grows. Now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, halita'a kichulda. The lita'a, the lizard, has a din like a chulda, which means it doesn't have this din that the orkabasar. The kulan shi ibdan, any of them that you actually tan them, you work the skins to the point now where they're made into leather, or you threw them out to be trampled by people. One of the ways to work the skins is to throw them out and have people trample on them. If you throw them out, tihorim. Then they become tahor because you're treating it like skin and not like basar. Chutz, the only exception that rules, or adam, human skin. All shmona shvatzim have a din of or. There is no such thing as din of or basar. That will eliminate the four of the items that are mentioned in the Mishnah according to the Tanakhama. So Amar Ula, Dvar Torah or Adam Tahor. Mina Torah, the skin of a person is always Tahor. Uma tamamru tamei. So why did the Chachamim make it tamei? If you say that Mina Torah, it's Tahor, that means that the Tumah that we're talking about here in the Mishnah is all Derabonon. Gezeira, Shem Yaseh Adam Orot Aviv Imo Shtichim. Because maybe a person, we're afraid a person will make the skins of his parents into throws for his couch or for his bed. So in order to prevent that, we made them tamei so that it would discourage that type of behavior. Oh, very good. So Tosafot asks your question. We'll get to it in 1 second. Very good question. Some people say it on the Sefer. Kulan sheibdu ashelach ben kedei avodat horim chutz mi or adam. Except for the or adam, amar ula dvar Torah or adam sheibdu tahor. In Ochanami, if you did, just like all the other Orot, if you put it in to work the skin, to tan it, then it would be Tahor as well, because you've now been mitbatelet. Matam amru tamei. So why is it tamei? Zer Hashem yaseh adam orot aviv imo shtichim. Maybe a person will make his parents' skins into throws. So man the matni loa reisha koshken ha-seifa. The one who says it on the reisha certainly says on the seifa, because he says kol ikar. The skin of a person is never tamei. Doesn't matter what you do with it. It's never tamei min ha-Torah. It's all a din d'rabbanan. It's a din d'rabbanan both in the first place, that it's orot kibsaro. And even if you tan it, the fact that it's tamei is also a dinder abonon. Mandamati aseifa, the one who says on the seifa says the dinder abonon only applies when it would have been otherwise tahor. When it would otherwise been tahor? When you used it to, when you tanned it, when you made the skin, you worked it in a way that you would have treated it like leather. Over there, in Ochanam, it should be tahor. The Chamim came along and zoos there that it'd be tamei. Avalaresha tumadoraito. But in the first instance, if you didn't work the skin, just the regular skin of a human being will have the same din as a basar and a bitame. Tame mi de oraita. So now Tosafot discusses two issues here. One is, why is it that the skin of an Adam is tahor or tame, depending on which opinion you think over here. And number two, he discusses the question that David raised is, wait a minute, you're not allowed to get hanoah from a mate, period. What is unique about aviv v'imo? Why is aviv v'imo any different than any other person? You can't get hanoah from any mate. So why isn't the gzeira about every mate? Does it say of that? V'af agav de mate asur behana'ah. U'v'chol adam asur la'asot mi'aro shtichim. This restriction applies to any person, not just to parents. It says, mikol makom lo have gazri rabbonu mishum ha'chashosho. Because of this chashash that somebody's going to make human skin into a throw, that shi'e tamei, they would never make such a gzeira about tuma for that. That's so far-fetched. By his father and his mother, which is very chamir. And you don't even have to say that the fact is that his parents are available to him, that his parents' skins are very easy for him to get. But on top of that, it's a chamir tuva, because it's a lack of kvod for his parents that he's treating. It's not even just a lack of kvod a mate, it's a lack of kvod for his parents. So there where it's a double chumra, there they said that will make it tamei in order to prevent people. So there's two, there is a practical side too, which is it's more available to him, his parents' skins. And then on top of that, there's a much greater chumra in terms of violating this. It's not just the problem of Isra Anah by a mate, it's an Isra Anah plus his parents. Either it's more shkiach because the parents are found there, he says you don't have to say that, but Even if you don't say it, he said it's such a great chumrah. It's such a chumrah case that they wanted to make sure that nobody did this. Now, you have to ask the question, and this is the question that you can ask all over Shas. Any guy who's willing to make his parents' skins into shtichim, what does he care about tumah? So that we've seen many times. I think the paradigm for this is in Darim, that you have in the Darim, which is called the certain Nidarim, Arba Nidarim. There are four types of Nidarim that are Batel Miatzman. One of those is the Nidarim that you take to the thieves that come into the house. They come in and they're going to steal things from you, and you take a nether that belongs to Hekdesh. The thieves come in, it belongs to Hekdesh, we're going to leave it behind. What do you mean they're going to leave it behind? These guys are stealing, we're not going to take Hekdesh. But it's the idea that people, and unfortunately it's still today, treat things that are Ben Adam Makom at a much higher level than Ben Adam Chaviro. To steal from his friend, that he doesn't have a problem with. To steal from Hekdesh, from Hashem, we don't do that. We don't take from Hashem. They put on a pedestal things that are Ben Adam Le Makom, but Ben Adam Le Chaviro, they don't worry about it. You have the same thing here. Tuma is an issue of Ben Adam Le Makom. Taking the skins of the parents, using them for shtivim, that's a Ben Adam Le Chaviro. So over there, the person again, they are affected by this. It's also an example in the Mishnah and Yoma. Mishnah and Yoma, where they're running up to do the karbanot, the Tumat HaDeshen, and either the guy pushed him off the ramp and he breaks his leg, or he stabbed him and he killed him. And they say, oh, get him out of here quickly because he's going to be metameh the Mikdash. They didn't worry about the fact that he stabbed him in the Mikdash to get there first. He worried about the tumah that's going to be created if he dies in the Mikdash. That same idea that they gave preference or preferential to Ben Adam LeMakom than Ben Adam LeChavero. So you see it repeated many times in Shas that it was a type of behavior that is consistent with this idea that they are machshiv, Ben Adam LeMakom and not Ben Adam LeChavero. I think this is another example of exactly that. The other thing Tosu mentions is, what is the idea that a skin of an Adam is Tamei or not Tamei? So you have to say, and he mentions this, that Or Adam Tahor, Kedemfarish Tamah Bereish Nida, Dulavi Dumya De Etzem Adam. It's not like a bone of a person. Dor Gizol Machlif. Because Or regenerates. So since it regenerates, it doesn't have a Dimit Tumah like an Etzem, which does not regenerate itself. What according to the one, the second opinion here, who says that I said it on the Seifa and not the Reisha? What does he say? Vahashti Chashiv Or In Gizol Machlif, Mishum De Mekomon Aset Tzaleket Ala Basar. So it says, the Gemara says in Nida that it gives a machlif, that it regenerates, skin regrows, therefore, it doesn't have a din like etzim, it doesn't have tumah. But according to one who says there is tumah Nida right there by or, what is he going to say? He's going to say that the or that grows back is not always the same. There's a scab, there is a scar, a scar that grows back where the basar is, so it's not exactly the same basar, it's a little different. So therefore, it's not considered gizel machlif, and it does have a din like etz, and that's why bitamei deoraitos. That's what explains the tutzadim here in the machloket. Or chazir, this is not what lomdash people want to see in a gemara, but here you have in the Mishnah, it says, or chazir, this is machloket here, whether a chazir abar has a din or not of skin. But my kamiflege, what are they arguing about? Marsav, haishon, hairakich. The Tanakhama believes that the skin of a bar is hard, and the skin of a domesticated pig is soft. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says that the skin of the wild pig, the wild hog, is also soft. So it's a practical machloket, just a machloket. What's the skin of a wild pig? Is it soft or is it not soft?
What do we consider this skin? We consider it soft.
I don't think it's no. I think it's an empirical thing. Do people eat the skin of a shor habar, of a chazir habar? That's the question. Do people eat it? That's how you know if it's soft or not.
Some people like eggplant.
It sounds like from here that there's no empirical evidence. It sounds like some people do, some people don't, and therefore, though it seems to be a much more mitziut-like machloket, and we want to try to avoid that.
Where do we derive what is soft, what is it?
There's a question, if it's called, would you eat it like basar? That's all. It's a question, does it act like basar, does it act like or? That's the question.
Like Vishnu, we talked about certain levels of machabendus.
Yeah, no, here it's simply about edible, not edible. That's really the issue. It seems like to be much more practical. And the bar, it depends who, it depends how finicky you are, whether you eat the shor bar, I mean the chazir bar. Alright, or chater shel gamal arakah, the hump of a young camel, become a gamal arakah. When is it considered to be a young camel or a soft? Summer will umr of shub and levi, kozman shalot ta'ana. As long as it wasn't carrying loads yet. When it's too young to carry loads, then it's still soft enough. Once it starts carrying loads already, that means that the hump is hardened to the point where once someone wouldn't eat it. So by rabbi, he gives mali ta'on velo ta'ana mahu. Now, is this a practical situation where you must load it in order for it to become hardened? Or, it's an age issue, right? At the time that it could carry, that's already making it hard. What happens if below the age he puts something on? Mahu, there the Gemara says a tefka. We don't know. We don't know if it's an age issue or it's a practical issue where you actually put it on or don't put it on. Yati Rav Lakish v'kami bayle kama gamal araka. Shlakish didn't know what's kama gamal araka. Amale Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba, hokamar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Quotes what we just saw from Yeshua ben Levi. Kozman shelo ta'ana. That's age, as long as it hasn't been loaded yet. Samale tiv l'kabli. Rav Lakish says, sit opposite me. So over here, he was very excited by the fact that Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba had something to give him, information to give him about the Torah, something that he didn't know. He knew the Mishnah about Gamal Arakah. He didn't know what the threshold was. Along comes Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba and quotes him from Yeshua ben Levi that the issue is about Teuna, whether it was loaded or not loaded. So Rish Lakish is so excited, he says, sit opposite me. And remember that Rish Lakish was of a level that if he talked to someone in the Shuk, they automatically got Nemanut. But says, Tiv Lekabli, sit opposite me. That was a very, very choshev status that he gave him. Yotiv Rabbi Zeira. On the other hand, Rabbi Zeira was sitting. Same question here that Reish Lakish had. Amalei Rabin Bar Chinir Hachi Amar Ula. Am Rabbi Shuman Levi. He quotes what we saw again from Shuman Levi. Kozman Shlotana. Again, he quotes the same statement from Shuman Levi, and he's bringing it to Rabbi Zeira. Kitani Lo. He said it over again. He thought that Rabin Bar Chinir didn't hear him, so he repeated it again. Amalei Chadi Havalach Amart. Says, you have one chiddush to share with us? Yeah, you came up with one thing that we don't know here, and you're so excited that you repeated it again? Tachazi, ma ben tkifei arad Eretz Yisrael. See, what's the difference between those, the great ones of Eretz Yisrael, who's that referring to, Reish Lakish, the chassidei Bavel, to the chassidim of Bavel. Chassidim of Bavel refers to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira made aliyah. He came from Bavel and was over the Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara talks about why he was considered one of the Chassidei Bavel. You see from this that the way that Reish Lakish treated someone who brought him some news, he sat him down, he gave him kobold. Rabbi Zeira, I mentioned it twice, he's ready to throw him out, he gives a chastisement already. So that's the difference between great ones of Eretz Yisrael and those that were Ole from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, the Chassidei Bavel. Alright, Bora Rosh of the Eagle. Kama Eagle Arach. What's considered to be a young calf that the skin is still soft? Ula Amar Ben Shnato. Ula says up to 1 year. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kozman Shionek, as long as it's nursing. So you buy the hole. Heichi Kamar Ula. How does Ula speak? Benchnato Vihu Yonek. When he says the year is the threshold, does he mean that the animal is also nursing? And then along comes Amarle Rabbi Yochanan Kozman Shionek. And Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, as long as it is nursing, meaning that even the threshold of a year doesn't matter, as long as it's nursing, it's fine. Odilma Ula Benchnato Kamar. Maybe Ula is saying, year is the threshold, ben yonek, ben shayna yok. It's irrelevant whether it's nursing or not. From there, Yochanan, ben shnoto, v'hu in shiyonek. Yochanan comes along and says, only within a year it's only relevant if it is ben yonek. So tashma, Rabbi Yochanan amar, kolzman shiyonek. The lashon that he's using is kolzman. As long as it's nursing, then it is still relevant that it's called egal arach. Well, that sounds like even after a year it would still be, like the first way we read it. If you want to say like the second one, he said that Rabbi Yochanan is coming to meet some same to limit that which Ula said. He should have said it as a modifying statement, which is that as long as it is being yonek, as long as it is being yonek, that would have modified the year of Ula. The fact that he says kolzman shiyonek sounds like it's irrelevant whether it's before a year, after a year, yonek. Shma mino, that's the case. Now Tosel points out that doesn't really answer the question. All we know now from Rabbi Yochanan is that v'hu shiyonek, as long as it's nursing, then it is good. But we don't know what Ula says. Does Ula say that under a year, then it doesn't matter whether it's yonek or not yonek? Or does Ula say that it has to be yonek, plus it has to be under a year? How do we know which one that is? So Tosva says that Ish Lomar, de Mistabre, de Bayiflugale Kolhai. It doesn't make sense to split Rabbi Yochanan and Ula so far apart. So because of that, Ula would only say Ben Shnato v'yonek. It has to be within its first year, plus it has to be nursing. And after the year, everything's over. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it continues. As long as it's nursing, it can even continue after the year. And that would be the machlokas, because Tosafot says, otherwise their opinions will be too far apart. The Rav Yaakov Mikurbil says, Kul shmetin svarat yoter kashe, afilu toch shnato, kishin yonik, minoik achar shnato. The whole sugir believes that if it's less than a year old, then it's not nursing, the skin is definitely harder than something is nursing then after a year. So if that's the case, then it would prove to you what Ula's position is over here. Because if Ula believed that before a year, and it's not nursing, that it's fine, then he would certainly believe that after a year and it's nursing, that it's good. The fact that he doesn't say that afterwards means there's an indicative of the fact that before the year, and it's not nursing, that would not be good enough. So, by meaning Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, or a rosh shel egel harach, ma'u shi'itma. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, a skin of a calf that is soft, what's the din that it should be mitameh? So Tosis points out, what do you mean? That's a Mishnah. What's the question? Our Mishnah says that or a regular arach has a din of tumah. We saw earlier in the Masechta that we have instances where Rish Lakish doesn't know Mishnayot, but over here Tosfos is not willing to say that, and Tosfos says here, al ma'ase shaya shoel. It was a ma'ase shaya, you want to ask him, hey, halacha, what should halacha be? He certainly knew our Mishnah, but he wants to know what the halacha is. Is the halacha like the Mishnah, or is it not like the Mishnah? Amalei enu mitamei, it's not mitamei. Amalei the matanu rabbeinu, elushu toredem kibisaram, you taught us the Mishnah. Vo'oro shalegel arach is one of the items listed in the Mishnah. I learned from you, Rabbi Yochanan, that the or of the rosh shalegel arach is like its basar. It should be mitamei tumat vela. So amalei al tekniteni b'lashon yachid, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, don't quote me something that is a dat yachid. Because b'lashon yachid anil shenelta, I learned this Mishnah as being a dat yachid. Now again, Rashi, it says that even though the Mishnah is Stam, we find in the Brayta that we're about to bring that this is a Dat Yachid. Tosfos doesn't like that. He says it doesn't matter. Because if Rabbi made something a Stam Mishnah, even though it was a Dat Yachid, it takes on the power of a Stam Mishnah. So Tosfos said earlier in the Masechta, when it says here, he's Lashon Yachid, he means he says Divrei so-and-so. That he actually in the Mishnah had a Girsa that said Divrei so-and-so. What's the Brayta? The Tanya. Shochet et ola laktir gzayt or shetachet al yal chutz limkomo pasul. Person shechs an ola. In order to be makriv a kazayit of the or that's underneath the tail, chutz limkomo pasul veimbo karet. Because it said machshava chutz limkomo, which makes the korban pasul, but there's no karet associated with it. Chutz zmano, if you did it, pigol, outside of the zman, it's pigol, v'chayivin alav karet. Then it becomes pigol, and you're b'chayiv karet for it. What do you see from this? You see from this brayta that the or that's under the tail has a din like basar. And it should have ended up on the Mizbeach. Since it should have ended on the Mizbeach, and it'd be a different machshov over here, that causes the problem. Elazar ben Yehuda, ish avlom, omer mishum rav Yaakov, v'chen ayah rav Shimon ben Yehuda, ish kfar ikum, omer mishum rav Shimon, echad or prasil, v'echad or arosh, the skin of the hooves, and the skin on the head of an egel harach, of a young calf, v'echad or shetachar aliyo, and the skin that's under the tail, v'chol shemanu chachamim gabei tumah, and then the chamim listed in our Mishnah, shirotayim kibisaram, lavi or shel beit haboshet, it comes to include the skin around the reproductive area of the female, chutz limkamo, if you have a machshava, chutz limkamo about it, pasol v'ein bo karet, if you have a machshava about it, chutz lizmano, pigol v'chayil v'in alav karet. So what do you see here? You have a Mishnah. The Tana Kama says that the only or, the only skin that's considered like a basar, is the or, the skin under the tail. Along comes, whether it's Elazar ben Yehuda, Ish Avalum, in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, or Rabbi Shimba Yehuda, Kfarikum, in the name of Rabbi Shimon. So now you have a Dat Yachid that says it's not just applicable to the skin under the tail. It's applicable to all skins that were mentioned in our Mishnah. But that means that our Mishnah is either authored by Rabbi Yaakov, or Rabbi Shimon, which is a Dat Yachid. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says.
It's not a Dat Yachid. It's Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon.
In the end, we have to say that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon, either together are they a Dat Yachid, or the Tosefta when saying it makes them either or. I mean, as they're mutually exclusive, who's the author here? That's why it's Lashon Yachid. And then, our Mishnah, even though the Tosefta calls it Bechol Shemanu Chachamim, and they're referencing our Mishnah in that case, they're referencing the Mishnah as being a Dat Yachid, and it works especially well according to Tosafot, who writes in our Mishnah, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. The Or, Shemanu Chachamim, why did the Mishnah separate out the Or Shel Beit HaBoshet? Why did the Mishnah, and the statement of Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yaakov, over there he says, oh, all the Orot that are mentioned in the Mishnah have this din, plus anything the Chachamim listed. What's that thing that Chachamim listed? That's the Or HaBoshet. Why did he mention it separately? So Rashi says the reason that it mentioned it separately is because the Braita is talking about an Ola. An Ola does not come as a female. Therefore, it mentions all the items that are applicable to an Ola. And then Or Beit HaBoshet, they include separately for animals or for korbanot that come as females. And that would be the Shlamim and the Chatat. So therefore, it mentions it separately because it's not really relevant to the Mishnah over here. That's one. I think Tosafot back in the previous sugya said that that doesn't have to be the reason, but rather they brought down things that were common to all karbanot. They brought down things that were common to all karbanot, which is only the items mentioned in the first three, things that were not common to all Korbanot, which is Or Beit HaBoshet, that they left out, that they put as in a separate line. All right, so now we continue. Or Beit HaPrasot. My Beit HaPrasot. What does it mean that the skin around the hooves? Rav Amar Beit HaPrasot Mamash. The skin around the hoof itself, literally. V'chinen Amar Rekuva Anim Keret Imarosh. So Rav is talking about the actual Beit HaPrasot, the actual ore that is around the hoof of the animal. Whereas Rabbi Chanina says it's the Rekuva Anim Keret Imarosh. Now Rekuva Anim Keret Imarosh is the part that goes together with the Rosh, that is sold together. They come as a joint unit, which is the part of the leg, the lower part of the leg and the head. Now the translation into the English was the area of the metatarsus bone, but that's very low down. Metatarsus is generally used to refer to the bones that are in the foot itself. So over here, maybe in the animal it's different, that the metatarsus is a little higher up, but basically what we're talking about is the lowest part of the bone of the animal. It's the part below the lower piece of the animal from the point where you start the flaying of the animal, where you cut in to the bone to start the flaying, and you hang the animal by that bone, below the knee, that is the area that's Rekuva Anim Keret Imarosh. That skin around there, that's what we're speaking about according to Rabbi Chanina. Boranaka, Torah Banan, Hatmeim, the Rabot Orotayim Kibisaram. Pasuk says by the Shvatzim, Elu Hatmeim Lachem. So again, the extra hay, we learn from that, the Rabot Orotayim Kibisaram, to teach you that the ore has the same din as Basar. I would think that applies to all the Shvatzim, because the way the Pasuk is set up is this way. It says, then the second Pasuk. And then we have the Pasuk that we just quoted, which is, so the Gemara says, I would think that all these eight Shvatzim have a din that their ore is Kibsaram. Only these. It says, what do you mean? You have two psukim that list out the shratzim, and it says, Ela, these are referring to the eight shratzim that you just listed in the Torah. Samarav, limineyu, hifsika inyan. The word limineyu splits the psukim up, because it says, Zelachem atame besheret ushrets alaret, halcholeid, achbar, batav, limineyu. Limineyu says, stop. Then we have, hanaka koach velita avachomet in tinshamet, Ela atmeim lachem. That Ela is referencing those latter five shvatzim. Oh, v'lichshov nami tinshamet. Tinshamet, the mole, why isn't the mole included in the list and in our Mishnah? The way you're learning the Gemara now, it should be included in the Mishnah. So I'm Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Rav Tanohu. Rav's a Tano, and Rav's Mishnah read v'tani tinshamet. He had tinshamet in there. He had five shvatzim, not four shvatzim. V'tani didan, lo tani tinshamet. So what about our Tano? Our Tano doesn't put tinshamet in it. How does he learn it out? So Rav Sheish is great to be the Tani Didan Sever like Rav Yehuda. Our Tana holds like Rav Yehuda, the Ozil Butter Gishta. He goes after the feel of the skin. And he argues on Rav Yehuda about the feel of the skin of the lizard. He agrees with the Din Shamet that the feel of the skin, that skin has a feel like a hard skin, not like basar. Therefore, it's excluded. It's all about the practical, as Rashi says. It's about the question. Just feel the basar. What does it feel like? So they're arguing. Rabbi Huda and the Tanakam argue about the lita, the lizard. But when it comes to the Din Shamet, they both agree that that's too hard and it's not included. As opposed to Rav, who now says that, Rav says that the Din Shamet is included in that list. Now Rashi points out that earlier on in the Masechta, we mentioned that Hatmeim comes to include certain things like Tziran and Rotvan. There we said it about all Shvatzim, that the Tzir and the Rotev is included from the word Hatmeim Lachem. But if you say the Mineu is Mafsik over here, how could you include it for all eight of them? So now Rashi says, Rashi says it's all one package. The Or HaRach, everything is together in one package. But if you do that, then how are you going to deal with the fact that there's this Mineu that splits it in half? So Tosfos says, Tema, Dharma, Lamel, Dai, Tameim, Lesor, Tziran, Verot, Van, Datam, Nam, Lemineu, Hifsika, Inyan. Pasuk, Echadu, the Perish, HaKuntris. According to Rashi, it's the same Pasuk. V'yesh, Lamar, Dehocho, Kol, Hanu, Dimimat, Inyan, Itluhu, Gishta, Svoruhu, Lukmei, Ahanach, Dukti, Batar, Lemineu. Aval, Tziran, Verot, Van, Del, Svoruhu, Lukmei, Bekulhu. That you have to use some logic here. It's not just a limud, it's a limud that includes logic alongside of it. So logically, you would say that when it comes to the issue of Hatmeim, that includes Siran Verotvan, there's no reason to exclude any of the Shtratzim. It should include all eight Shtratzim. On the other hand, when it comes to this issue of Oran Kibsaran, over there there's a logic to say that it really has to do with the texture of the skin. And over there we're going to say Mineu does split the pasuk according to Rav, because it makes sense that the latter five have different skin than the previous three, and therefore there's a reason to break it along the lines of Mineu. So Tosfos says that it's both a mixture of Svara as well as a limud of the pasuk Zeret HaKatuv. Now the way Rashi explains that we're holding like Rav Yehuda, that means that we actually have three deot here. There are actually three separate opinions. That is, Rav believes that there are five tzim that have Oroteim Kibsaram. There is the Tanakamo, who believes that there are four shvatzim, based on their feel. And there's Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that there are three shvatzim that have a din of Arutayim Kibsaram. That means that there's a three-way machloket, according to the way Rashi learns this. But Ulupe Rusho, lo vitana de Breita, lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo bar plukte. According to that, then the Breita that we quoted, who's the author of that Breita? Tan Rabbanan, Atanayim, Rabot, Arutayim Kibsaram, Yecholo, Filu, Kulan, Tamalom, Ra'ele. Because according to Rashi, there's no limud out of the word atmeim. The argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama is simply a practical machloket about feel. The Gzeret HaKatuv is irrelevant over here. So therefore, the braita that we quoted that says hatmeim, the Rabot Rotem, Kibsaram, that can't be offered not by Rabbi Yehuda, not by the Tanakhama. So then why do you have to say Rav Tanu Upali? Rav holds like the braita. The braita is clear that it's giving a limud from the pasuk, the way Rashi is learning. So therefore, Tosfot disagrees, and we just saw this before when I mentioned the Mineu, according to Tosfot, no, that even the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that the word Hatzmeim is the Limud. They have the Drasha. The question is, how do you apply the Drasha? Rav says the Drasha is limited by the word Mineu. Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama say, no, it's limited by Svara. There is the word Hatzmeim. Hatzmeim comes to Mirabba. How do I know what's Mirabba? We use Svara to determine what it is to be Mirabba. Okay, Kulan Shibdan, if you work the skins, then they have a din of skin and not basar. Halach, also if you throw them out to be trampled, then they also get a din of skin. Halachin, lo elech lo. It's only if you threw them out to get trampled do they have a din of skin, but if you didn't throw them out, it wouldn't be. Vatani ribchi, ozen chamor. If you take the ear of a chamor, shitla'a lekupato, you're taking it as a patch for your basket. You're going to use that skin as a patch, then it's Torah. It's Torah because it doesn't have a din of basar anymore, because you're going to use it as a skin. Over there, you just took it to use. You didn't throw it out. So now, the way we're going to read the Gemara first is like Rashi, which is Tala. Afagav delo helech. En achanami. Tala is even if you didn't do the helech. That's fine. Lo tala, if you didn't have intended to use it for a patch, helechin lo helech lo. So it depends on your dat. If you have dat to use it as a patch, that's enough to make it into skin. If you don't have in mind to use it for a patch, then only once you've done some activity in the skin in order to show that you're going to work it by throwing it out, then it'll be skin. Otherwise, it still has a din of basar. So Rashi says that the question from Rabbi Chiyah over here is, if by Rabbi Chiyah we say you just have to have in mind to use it for a basket, that's enough. In our Mishnah too, it should be enough that you already designated to throw it out in front of people, you put it down. You don't have to actually have people walk on it. Why do you have to people walk on it? Once you throw it out, that should be enough. So Rashi in the end ends it up. The Gemara differentiates between Tzva'a and Halech. But according to the way Rashi is learning, that which still should mean that our Mishnah should say it's enough to throw it out. You don't actually have to walk on it. So Tosfos there reads that the Gemara differently. It says, Al-Korcha Nira, Dachi Perusho. This is the way to explain it. Halech in Tzva'a, the Gemara thinks, Tony Medita in Tzva'a, since our Mishnah has mentioned Tzva'a, Tzva'a Gorom Halech. It sounds like Tzva'a is less than Halech. Halach is the way to get there. That's the lowest form of makshava that will get it to be an or. Tla is not enough. And then the Gemara answers, no. Tla is even if you don't do halach. Tla has its own standing. It's a higher form of makshava. And since it's a higher form of makshava, the same form of makshava, there's no difference between tla and halach, because they're at that same standing. So originally the Gemara thought that tla was a lower form of makshava. Therefore in our Mishnah says halach works, then tla certainly should not work, because it doesn't work as well. And the Gemara comes back and says, no, that Tla is on the same level as Halech, and therefore works just as well. They're interchangeable in terms of Machshava. And so now the last piece of the Gemara.
The Gemara asks, in the context of Halech, Kama Kedei Yibud, how long does it have to sit around under people's feet in order to be classified as Kedei Yibud? So Amar of Huna, Amar of Yanai, Arbat Milim. Has to be the amount of time that people walk over it for 4 mil. That's either if it's attached to someone's foot and he walks on it for 4 mil, or a person leaves it out there the amount of time that people could walk on it for 4 mil. And now we have another addition to this sugya that deals with 4 mil, which has major nafkaminot la'alocha. And that is, based on the Girsa of the Masorah Shatz, Amar Rabbi Bahu, Amar Reish Lakish. Ligavel, when it comes to kneading. Ulitfilah, when it comes to davening. Unatilat yadayim, for washing one's hands. Arbat milim. All of them have this din of four mil. What these three items mean, we'll get to in 1 second. It's a machloket ha-rishonim. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak. Aibo amra. Aibo said it. Ve'arba. Ay amarba. It wasn't said over from Rabbi Bo, Mishum Reish Lakish. But rather, it was said by Aibo. There was a mix-up between Abo and Aibo. And in addition to that, there weren't only three things that were mentioned in the list. There was a fourth item mentioned in the list. B'chabimayinu avuda. And that fourth item is our sugi over here, which is the ibud of the orot, that the amount of time it requires for ibud orot is 4 milim. Now, we're going to modify that statement. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina, lo shanu elu lefanav. That's only true when you're going forward. And these three items, the amount that you have to go 4 mil to be megavel, to knead, or to daven, or the netilat yadayim for washing one's hands, that's only if it's continuing your journey forward. Avad acharav, if you have to go backwards, or you're going to go out of your way, afilum el echad enu chozer. You don't have to go back even 1 mil. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar, umina, from that you can conclude that milu deinu chozer. That true, you don't have to go back 1 mil. But hapachon mimil chozer, but it's under a meal, then we do require you to go back. Now, what are these items? The first machloket relates to the gavel. Rashi says the gavel has to do with the sakhir. Someone was hired by a bala bayit to knead his dough, and he wants to knead the dough for him bit tahara. How far does he have to walk in order to do this? So, if it's lefanav, 4 mil, if it's under a meal, he has to go back to knead the dough. If it's any more than that, he can charge the bala bayit for the travel time. Because that would not be included in what's considered to be normal working conditions of having to go that far. Tosafot doesn't like Rashi's questions because what does this have to do with traveling? It sounds like from the qualification that we make later on in the Gemara by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina that this person's on a trip. He's traveling. So if he goes forward 4 mil, meaning it's continuing the journey that he has to do, then we say keep going for another 4 mil. If he has to go back, which means out of his way, then we say less than 1 mil, anything up to 1 mil is okay. But if you hit 1 mil, then we don't ask you to go backwards. But what does traveling have to do with someone who's hired? Tosafot suggests over here, it's based on the Aruch. He says that the Gavel over here is not somebody who's hired to do it, but rather it's Im Yesh Gavel Ho'Seisa B'Tara. If there is a needer, someone you know who you can take it to, who will do B'Tara, B'Richo Dalimilim. You're traveling, and you know that there's a worker further down that can do this, can knead the dough for you, but it's 4 mil forward. Yamtir Achegil Oto Gavel. You wait until you get to that location. Umari Ba'adam Olech B'Derech. But that's talking about someone who's going on the way, who's traveling. That's why it makes sense. But then we have the next two items, and we have to explain them. Tefillah and a tefillah at yadayim. Tefillah, Rashi says, is to get a minyan. You have to go if you're traveling, and you have a Beit Knesset that is in front of you that's davening with a minyan. If they are 4 mil ahead of you, meaning that you can continue your journey without it turning dark, then we ask you to continue your journey until you reach the Beit Knesset and daven with a minyan. Even though you're tired now and you want to stop, we don't allow you to stop. We say continue on. Even though you want to stop your journey, rest for the day, and finish off the day, we say no. Go additional 4 mil forward because we want you to daven with a minyan. And the same is true of going backwards. If it's under a mil, we're going to ask you to go backwards to daven with a minyan. Rashi then says, Netilat Yadayim. Netilat Yadayim is for achila, for eating. Someone has to wash their hands to eat bread. We have the same requirement. He's traveling. He's tired. He wants to eat some bread. So we say to him, wait for eating until you're 4 mil ahead and you can get to the water. If there's water 4 mil ahead of you, we ask you to wait. If there's water behind you less than 1 mil, we ask you to go back and get the water. Otherwise, you get the dispensation to eat without the water, meaning you use other meat of benake or use a mapa, use a cloth, and you hold the bread in the cloth. But that dispensation only applies if you've exhausted these other opportunities, which is to go forward 4 mil or to come back 1 mil while you're traveling. The Aruch argues on that, says when it comes to tefillah, it's not actually davening. It's not about going to make a minyan. You have to go forward 4 mil or back 4 mil, but it's also about netilat yadayim. Tefillah means washing your hands to daven. We ask you to go forward 4 mil to wash your hands, and we ask you to go back even less than 1 mil to wash your hands in order to be able to daven. And then the netilat yadayim is about achila. So that way the Aruch explains the tefillah differently than Rashi. It argues on the gvila about the kneading. Tosfot favors the Aruch's position there. In the second explanation, which is the tefillah about davening, Rashi says it's about a minyan. The Aruch says it's about washing your hands for davening. There, Tosafot favors the position of Rashi and says it makes more sense to be talking about the issue of minyan, not the issue of washing one's hands. Because we have the Gemara in Brachot, which says that a person who is going to miss out on davening because he's going to wash his hands, like that lay Rav Chista. Rav Chista didn't like people who did that. So it's clear that washing your hands cannot be a determining factor for one going forward or for missing out on a minyan. So therefore, Tosfot rejects that idea and says you just wipe your hands, you make them clean, and that'll be sufficient. There's a third opinion here in tefillah, and that is the position of the Rach. The Rach says, perish l'tfilat, l'tvo l'tfilato. That's to go to the mikveh in order to daven. Now, the Rach is premised on the opinion, even though we hold that you don't have to do, go to the mikveh in order to daven. So that, Tosfos says, is limited to limud Torah and to kriyat shema. But for tefillah, for davening Shema Esrei, so you really do need to go to the mikveh, even though we say that the halacha is like a behuda ben terah that doesn't require a tefillah. The nice part about Rach's explanation is, so that would explain the commonality or the common denominator between these four items according to the Rach. Because all these things deal with tahara. Givul is about tahara. Tefillah, going to the mikveh for tahara. Netilat yadayim is about washing your hands. So all of these things deal with tahara. And when we add in avuda, that's because avuda is also a din in tahara. Because how do you make this, or not to be tamei like the basar, is that you put it out to be ibud. And that's also giving us something to do with tahara. Whereas according to the Orach, or according to Rashi, it's not clear why all of these items have to do with each other, because if you explain tefillah to be davening with a minyan, or you explain tefillah to be washing your hands, that's hachol nikrat elokecha, that's not about tahara, and that eliminates this common denominator between all four of the items. The inyan halacha, which is very interesting. When it comes to the inyan halacha, both the Rambam and the Tur do not quote this halacha with regards to netilat yadayim for food. The Shulchan Aruch does quote this halacha when it comes to food, and that's where we paskin, the Gavin Netilat Yadayim for food. When it comes for Netilat Yadayim for Tefillah, there the Rambam brings it down, based on the position that we saw in the Aruch, as well as the Torah brings it down there, that one has required to do that, and the Shulchan Aruch also brings it there, in terms of washing for Tefillah. But the Torah also brings down, when it comes to Tefillah B'minyan, in Siman Tzadi and Aruch Chaim, that you also, he said we should be choshesh for the shita of Rashi here, because Tosfot says that's the main shita, and that's what the Hagot Mamaniot says on the Rambam. The Rambam, when he quotes that you have to do this for washing one's hands for tefillah, there he says that, wait, Tosfot doesn't agree with this. Tosfot thinks that it's about tefillah, the minyan, not about washing one's hands. And therefore, the Torah brings down both. He brings both opinions down. He brings the opinion of Rashi that you have to do it for a minyan. Brings around the position of the Rambam that you have to do it for washing one's hands for tefillah. What he doesn't bring down is the gabei achilah. He doesn't bring it down, and neither does the Rambam bring it down over there. The Shulchan Aruch, following the footsteps of the Tur in terms of tefillah, says that both for washing one's hands for tefillah as well as minyan, says over there that we have this din of going forward for a meal and coming back one meal. And he also brings this halacha down by netilat yadayim for food. The Ber Halacha points out that when we talk about for meal here, does for meal mean the actual distance of for meal, or does it mean the amount of time that it takes to travel for meal? The Ber Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, concludes that it's really the for meal is the amount of time, and he says it's about 72 minutes. That in today's terms, it doesn't mean going for meal, it means the amount of time you would travel for 72 minutes. So in a car, that would be a much longer distance, and there would be a requirement for you to continue on for another 72 minutes, as well as return or go back on from your traveling back one-fourth of that or less than a meal, which would be under 18 minutes to go backward. The Mishnah Berurah, based on the Primi Godim, mentions over here that this is a huge kategor on people who sit in their houses when there's a minyan in the city, and they don't go out because it's too much trouble, it's too far away. He says, why should be, when you live in the city, this should be no worse than somebody's traveling and has to go backwards up to a meal. If you have to travel at least about 18 minutes backwards in order to find a minyan when you're traveling, then when you're in your house, then alachaz kamakama, that you have to torach yourself to go at least 20 minutes, 18, 20 minutes out of your way to go to a minyan, because that should be no less than someone's untraveling. And therefore, he says it's a big kategor on the people who don't, who sit in their houses in cities that have minyanim, and they don't daven with a minyan. In addition, he also mentions that this idea that one has to wait the four meal by the achilah, and we have the dispensation to do it with the mita de menake or with the mapa. Whereas by tefillah, where we're much more makil by that type of washing the hands, when it comes to eating, he says that a person has to be in a very dire straits. If they could wait, even if they're a little hungry, they're feeling a little tired, that's not enough of a reason to eat now and not wait to do tefillah tidaim later on. Whereas by tefillah, we would say that. We say just daven here, don't miss out on a minyan, don't do anything extreme in terms of washing one's hands for tefillah. But by netilat yadayim for food, he says the other way around. Unless it's extenuating circumstances, we're going to demand of you to wash your hands properly with water. Otherwise, you have to wait until you get to the point where you have water. Right now, the last piece in the Gemara is Tanu Rabbanan, legion, from the word legion. Over me makom le makom, it goes from place to place. V'nichnas le bayit, and goes into a house. Habayit tamei. The house is automatically tamei. She'en lo chal kol legion, v'legion she'en lo kama kar kaflim. There's no legion that's going around that doesn't carry with it, as Rashi said, a couple of heads. That they have some prize heads that they cut off, or they took with them, or scalps that they took with them, as souvenirs, or as demonstration of their great prowess. They have these heads with them. And therefore, if they enter into a city or into a house, we assume that the house is tamei, tumata, mate, because of that. Ve'alti tama, and don't think that this is so far-fetched. Sherei karka flo shel Rabbi Shmuel. When it comes to the scalp or the head of Rabbi Shmuel, munach berosh melachim. The kings wear that. Now, the Gemara here doesn't make any cross-reference, but we saw this together in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. Over there, the Gemara tells us a story with regards to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Rashi mentions over there, the Rabbi Shmuel we're speaking about here is the Rabbi Shmuel from Asara Harugei Malchut. And we read it both on Tisha B'Av and on Yom HaKippurim. Over there, the story tells us that when it came to killing Rabbi Shmuel, the daughter of the executioner asked that his life be spared. He said, I won't spare the life, but I will take off his face and give it to you to keep. And Rabbi Shmuel cries out when they get to the Makom of Filin Shel Rosh. So that's what we're talking about over here. And the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Oda Cheret Yesh Lahem Beromi. There's another holiday in Rome. Achad L'Shivim Shana, once every 70 years, Mevim Adam Shalem, they take a whole person, Umarkivin Oto Adam Chiger, and they put him on top of someone who is lame. Umabishim Oto Bigde Adam Rishon, they put on him the clothing of Adam Rishon. Umenichin Lo Berosho Karkif Lo Shel Rabbi Shmuel. And they put on his head the skin or the face of Rabbi Shmuel. Vitolele Bitzavre Matkal, and then they put on some weight around his neck. Reish Zuzav to the Pisa, 200 Zuz. Umechapin at the Shvakim Beinach, and they decorate the marketplaces with carbuncle. Umachrizim Lefanav, Sach Kiri Plastar, Achua de Marana Zaifono. The Chame, Chame, Utlo Chame, Lo Chame. Mai Ahani the Ramal Biramute, Ulizayafana Bizayfute. Umisayim Bahachi, Vaila Dane, Kajakum Dane. So this is in Aramaic, I won't translate all of it, but the basic idea being that they are reenacting the battle between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov being represented by the lame person, Esav being represented by the whole. And it's saying here, what did Yaakov benefit with all this cheating? Rashi and Tosafot argue over there when it's referring to Yaakov or to Yitzchak when they talk about our father or our forefather. But we note there was no benefit from what Yaakov did, because we still see that in the end, the Romans or Esav is ascendant. But they do end up in the end, vi, well, this is what they say, or the Gemara is adding it in, woe, when this one rises for that one. I mean, then when Klal Yisrael comes back, woe to the Romans or to Esav, when Yaakov is ascendant. Machloket there in the Mefarshim and Avodah Zarah, whether this really happened, or this is all allegorical. But the idea being that the head of Rabbi Shmuel represents Yaakov, the learning of Torah, Klal Yisrael, and the legions over here are represented by Esav, the warring factions, and here we know in the time of the Gemara is being put together that the Romans are ascendant at that time, and so they see the Roman ascendancy as being this indication that something's wrong for Klal Yisrael, that there's a problem with Hashem's name in the world because of that. Therefore, the Romans were celebrating that. They had a chag, they had a special celebration, and they used Rabbi Shmuel's face as representing, see, we have even the Torah and all that which is represented by Yaakov, we are still ascendant above it. And obviously the Chachamim are saying this activity or this behavior of the Romans or of Esav is not so unusual. This is their character. And because this is a character, they are mitameh everywhere they go because they are carrying around these scalps. And that is indicated by the way they celebrate their holidays with the face of Rabbi Shmuel, the way that they tortured and took the Asaria Harugei Malchut. All these are indications of that type of behavior, so which is not unexpected that they would end up with a human being with them inside the house that would be mitameh the house. Okay, we'll stop over here and continue with the Mishnah tomorrow.